I invite you to open in your scriptures this morning to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. As you find your spot in Ephesians 5, beginning with verse number 15, I'd ask that you stand as we prepare to read the Word of God out of respect to the Word of God. We should never treat this book as any other book. I have a pet peeve. I don't mention, I've got a lot of pet peeves, but one of my pet peeves that you don't hear a lot about is when you see the word Bible or the word scriptures in reference to the Bible and it's not capitalized. It was kind of interesting. I think it was Friday. We had gotten a mailing from a good church, and in that mailing it was for a pastor's meeting or a preacher's meeting. They had the word scriptures, and Amy noticed that it wasn't capitalized. And so somebody else noticed. That's a pet peeve of mine. And so we've conformed to the world by taking the capitalization out. But the fact of the matter is that capitalization belongs there. Because if you take it out, it says that this is no different than the Quran and the Muslim holy scriptures or the Vedas, the holy scriptures of the Hindu, or on and on to all the different religions. But by capitalizing the word Bible and the word scriptures in reference to the Bible, not when it's in reference to the others, but in reference to the Bible, it shows that this book is unique and we give it reverence and don't treat it as any other book. And that's why we stand as we're able to as we read the scripture passage on the Sunday mornings. I'd like to begin, as I said, with verse number 15 in Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's ask God's blessing on His Word. Father, as we study this morning in Your Word, Father, we're privileged just simply to have it, the divinely inspired and divinely providentially preserved Word of God, that we know this is the message from heaven to man. Father, the message from heaven to us as individuals. And so this morning as we prepare to look into Your Word, Father, we do ask that Your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and work in our lives, so much so that we would recognize the individual message You have for each one of us as individuals in this one simple message. We'll thank You for what You'll do now in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. This morning, though I read a number of verses here, I want to focus in on just simply one thought. And those in Sunday school know what it is. I tipped my hand. I should say that's the first time I've ever tipped my hand as to what I was going to preach, because my fear is if I tell somebody what I'm going to preach that they won't bother to listen because they'll already know. But this morning I tipped my hat. I'm going to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's easy to say, well, you know, that isn't all that important. That sounds like it's going to be dull and boring, and it may be. I will do my best to keep it from being that, but it may be. But what's interesting about this subject is, as I studied this week, some very knowledgeable students of the Word of God who are very highly respected echoed the same thought. They said that the filling of the Holy Spirit of God is the one most important biblical truth to help Christians live the Christian life. If the filling of the Holy Spirit of God is the one most important biblical truth to help you and to help me live the Christian life, why do we hear so little about it? Why is it so infrequently preached about? I think a lot of that has to do with because of a misunderstanding on what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. We know that we have other Christian brethren that teach it improperly. And it's not my purpose this morning to deal with how it's taught improperly, though somewhere along the line, I'll probably mention an error here or there. But what I want to tell you this morning, and my purpose is simply to tell you what it is and what it means to your Christian life and your Christian walk. And I think if we stay in Ephesians chapter 5 and then into chapter 6 a little bit ways, I think we'll begin to grasp the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, that said, let me tell you what the filling of the Spirit of God is not. The filling of the Spirit of God is not that which you receive when you're saved. When a person recognizes they're lost, headed for hell because of the sin in their lives, the sins that they've committed, they may not have done anything more serious that they're aware of other than lying, perhaps skewing the answers on a test sometime, no, what we would call major sin, but realizing that even those sins, even those what we consider small sins, are the breaking of God's holy commandments, and therefore renders us a sinner, and makes it just for God to send us, and right for God to send us to hell for all eternity. When we come to that point in our lives, and also not just understanding our sinfulness, though it may be on the world standards very slight, recognizing that God sent His Son to this earth to pay the death penalty for those sins. And that because He sent His Son to pay the death penalty, not for those sins, but for my sins, that then we place our faith as our substitute, that He is my Savior because He took upon Himself the penalty I deserve to pay. That when we ask Christ to save us and put all of our trust in Him, not in anything else, as I say it so often, not in our baptism, not in our good works or works of righteousnesses, not in our church, not in our preacher or priest, not in anything except Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on the cross. When we accept Him, putting all our trust in Him to take us to heaven, to rescue us, save us from our sins, we're saved immediately, on the spot, just like that. Now, what takes place in regards to the Holy Spirit and our relationship to Him at that moment that we get saved is He comes and lives within us. We call it the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling. He dwells in our hearts, the Scriptures tell us. That happens the very instant you put your faith in Christ. He comes in, according to John chapter 14, 15, and 16, as our comforter. Our comforter. And that's a wonderful message that I was working on perhaps preaching this morning, but God changed directions a little bit. But a comforter is one who comes along beside to help us. It's kind of like, and I don't know why, but I remember trying to teach Stephen how to walk when he was just a toddler. Now, I know I did it with the other four, but it's not as vivid of a memory as with Stephen, because Stephen was just kind of unique in that. But I remember, and you know how all the parents are, and you spread your legs wide, you hold the little hands, and you're trying to help them walk. And you know if you let go, they're probably going to go down. But if they go down, you reach down, you pick them up, and you do it again. That's just the way we do it. We're called alongside to help them learn to walk. And God says He sends the Holy Spirit to help us in our Christian life. And so we're that little toddler learning how to walk, and the Holy Spirit is right there from day one helping us and holding us up. And when we fall, He reaches down because of the indwelling presence and puts us back on our spiritual feet. But indwelling is not filling. The filling of the Spirit. In verse number 18 it says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, when we're indwelt, it happens one time and it lasts forever. Okay? If you can get a hold of that thought, that indwelling happens one time and last forever, you'll be on the right page. You'll be doing well. All right? That happened at the moment of our salvation. He indwells us. And He never ever, 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 under any circumstances, no matter what you do, no matter what sins are committed, no matter how hard you fall, never, ever leaves you. That's indwelling. That's indwelling. Filling, on the other hand, is not that way. Filling may not ever happen in a Christian's life, ever. There's that possibility that you could be seated here this morning, and maybe you've been saved for decades. It's possible that you have never, ever, under any circumstances, for any moment of time, been filled with the Spirit of God. And there are others of us here this morning that have been saved, maybe only for a short period of time. But it's possible to even have been saved only a short period of time and yet have been filled with the Spirit numerous times, over and over and over again. That's that possibility. Because where indwelling happens one time and lasts forever, filling is only temporary and must happen over and over again. And that's why we're commanded here in Ephesians chapter 5, be filled. That's not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not saying, well, this is something you can have if you want it. It's a commandment that God says, this is what you are required as a Christian to do. And so if you're here this morning and don't understand even what filling is, let alone know whether or not you've ever been filled, you need to sit up and listen. Because as I said, some Bible students, some Bible scholars, and I believe the Word of God presents it very clearly, that the filling of the Spirit of God is necessary and the most single Bible truth about the Christian life for living the Christian life. Filling is very simple, and I trust you know what it is because I've said it so many times. It's not getting any more of the Holy Spirit than you had at that moment of salvation. When you got saved at that instant, you were indwelt. You got 100% of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never get any more. You'll never have any less. And so what does it mean to be filled? It just simply means that you've surrendered yourself to His control. You've surrendered yourself to His control. Now, why would we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control? We'll talk about that in a few moments. I've got five different things that the Holy Spirit filling helps us with. But it's important to understand that about the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, that it's temporary and that we need that filling at least on a daily basis. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, but how many of you this past week, starting last Monday, even a single time prayed and asked God to fill you with His Holy Spirit? How many of you even did it once? Probably none of us. Although I know I did. Hopefully I'm not the only one. Because you need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You need, if you're going to walk a successful, victorious, blessed Christian life, you need the filling of the Holy Spirit. All right, well, what does He do? Why is it so important? What effect will being filled with the Spirit have in our lives? Well, look in verse 19. It simply says, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here we have spiritual fellowship. If you want to have fellowship with God, how can you do it? By being filled with the Spirit. The natural response to being filled in the Spirit, as listed here in verse number 19, are these spiritual melodies and spiritual songs that will be in your heart. Now, it's not talking about thumpity-thump songs. It's not talking about rock songs. It's not talking about country and western songs. It's talking about spiritual songs. What songs are in your heart when you go through the day? What songs are in your mind? Usually we have commercials. They have their catchy little phrases, and they're intended to stick in your mind.
God says, get rid of them. Bring in the spiritual thoughts and the spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, speaking to the Lord. That will only come if you're filled with the Spirit of God. If you're not having that fellowship, that communion, that joy that you can have in Christ, if He seems distant and far away, you know what the answer is? The answer to achieving that spiritual fellowship is to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're not enjoying the fellowship with God that He wants to have with you and that He said is possible for you to have. And that you know others experience and you can't quite figure out how they've come to experience that. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Or He says, secondly, it's not just necessary for spiritual fellowship, but look what it says in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we find special joy. Special joy, all right? I talked about joy having that fellowship with Christ, and certainly that's true. But do you realize and understand exactly what it's telling us there in verse number 20? Giving thanks. We understand that. All right, we try to teach children manners. This morning, Jada was at church a little bit early. You know, little Jada, was she about 3 years old, two, 3 years old? And I drew a picture for her, and I gave it to her, she wanted me to draw another picture for her. She talked about the hand monster that was in her house. I don't know what the hand monster was, but I drew a hand, and I drew teeth between the index finger and the thumb, and I drew eyes on all the other fingers. I drew a hand monster for her. I don't know what they look like, but that's the best I could come up with. But she wanted me to draw something else, but I said, I don't hear any manners. And so she says, thank you. And so then we understand what it means to give thanks. You know, God likes to hear thanks. Has He answered any prayers you've ever asked of Him? Has He ever helped you do something? Has He ever kept you safe? Don't you think He'd like to hear you say thank you once in a while? But you know, the verse doesn't stop there, does it? It continues, and this is where it gets difficult. It's easy to understand that, giving thanks. Giving thanks always. All right, we can continue that thought on just a little bit further and a little more extensively. We can deal with the always and understand it as at all times. But let's continue because it doesn't stop there either. The next three words are the three most difficult words in this verse. And perhaps the middle of those three is the most difficult. For all things. For all things. Have you ever known a Christian that's gone through a terrible trial? And even in the middle of that trial has had that special joy that only Christians in fellowship with God experience? And they have a smile on their face, and you know that things are going terribly wrong for them, terribly adverse circumstances, and you ask them how things are going, and you're expecting them to pour out their heart to you and to weep and cry, and you're ready to offer your shoulder for them to cry on, and they just smile and say, man, things are going great, God has been blessing me, and there's no problem at all. And how do they achieve that? How do they get there? Where they can give thanks for all things, even the difficult, hard circumstances in life. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what makes it possible. Are you being thankful for the situations and circumstances you're going through? God says, here's the answer. Here's how you can rise above. Here's how you can be that beacon light to the world, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven by being filled with the Spirit. You see, that verse is very challenging and very difficult, and it's outright impossible unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. Well, let's look at the next verse. We've got being filled with the Spirit is necessary for that spiritual fellowship, for that special joy. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you like to submit yourselves one to another? We don't like to do that. We all want to be the boss. We all want to be in charge. We all want to have our own way. But God says we're supposed to submit. Is it easy? Certainly not. Is it required? Definitely. Well, how are we going to do it? We're not going to do it in the power of our own flesh, in our own strength. God says there's only one way to submit to one another. Now, this is used in a church context. This is used in our setting, our church family. How do we submit to one another when we have a business meeting and we vote no and everybody else votes yes, or we vote yes and everybody else votes no? How do we deal with that? How do we have that unity that God expects the local church to have so that we can be in one accord, with one mind, with one accord? That situation of a church that God blesses. It's because we're submitted to each other because we've been filled with the Spirit. You see, it's necessary for submission to one another. Well, let's move along. Beginning in verse number 22. All the way through chapter 6 and verse number 4, God deals with family relationships. He addresses the wife first. Submit yourselves unto your own husband. Is that easy to do? You know, sometimes your husband doesn't always have the best ideas. Sometimes he has big ideas, but those ideas are bad ideas. How do you submit? The answer you know. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, husbands, if we're going to love our wives as ourselves, and she gets to nagging, now how do we love our wife when she's nagging? All right, maybe you've got a wife that doesn't nag. Boy, are you blessed. But if you have a wife that nags, how do you still love her? It's not optional, and it's not just to love her, but to love her as yourself. All right? That takes it to a whole nother level, doesn't it? Because, man, we take care of ourselves. We get hungry, we eat. We get dirty, we wash. We get tired, we rest. We take care of ourselves pretty good. What about our wife? You know, hopefully we're the only one that sees her when she gets up in the morning, her hair's all disheveled before the makeup gets put on. But we still love her as ourselves. If you're having trouble with that, here's the answer. Now, this is pretty where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? This is being filled with the Spirit of God. That's how you love your life, your wife, even when she is unlovable. Okay? And that's going back to the nagging part. How many guys love to be nagged? It goes so against the male pride that you ladies will never understand why we get so upset. I'll guarantee you, you'll never understand, because it's so against the way God has wired us. All right? And for some reason, He has wired you to think that if you just keep reminding us of the same thing, that eventually we'll get it. The fact is, we won't get it. All we're going to get is angry, okay? But if we're filled with the Spirit, we'll still love you as ourselves, okay? Then he deals with, as he leaves the husbands, and of course there's other things in here, we're just, for sake of time, so we get out before noon, are trying to deal with the subject matter and help you understand how important it is daily to be filled with the Spirit of God. In the beginning of verse 6, every child's nightmare verse that every parent makes their children memorize. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, kids hate obeying, don't they? They don't want to clean their room. They don't want to have to go to bed at bedtime. They don't want to have to eat that broccoli or cauliflower or whatever it is that they don't like. They don't want to have to obey when they're out in the store and they're told for the 100th time, you can't have it. They don't want to have to hear and obey their parents. Now, how can children obey their parents? Be filled with the Spirit of God. It moves on from the children to the fathers. How to discipline the kids. We want to be so careful when we discipline, because we want to let them know we love them and care for them, are very tender to them. But we also need to let them know that not anything goes. They've got to learn that healthy fear of their father so that they'll learn to have a healthy fear of God. How do we balance that and give the love and still give the discipline that is necessary? It goes back to chapter 5, verse 18. be filled with the Spirit. He moves from there to service to others. We've seen spiritual fellowship. We've seen special joy. We've seen submission to one another. We've seen the sanctified home. But also in chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, in service to others. He deals first with the employee, serving our employer the way he deserves to be served. Because he and you have an agreement that he's going to give you so much in remuneration, and you're going to provide so much in service. He focuses in verse 9, the employer, and says, look, you've got to treat them right, and you've got to treat them fairly. Don't take advantage of them. How do we do this? Being filled with the Spirit of God. It's so important for everyday life. We haven't even gotten into the spiritual application of service for Christ. It tells us in John chapter 15, without me you can do nothing. Do you realize that if I am not filled with the Spirit of God when I'm preaching, we might as well have slept in this morning. Without the Spirit of God and His control and His guidance and His instruction, and not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week as I study and prepare for what to preach, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. And I need you to pray that I'm filled with that Spirit and led by that Spirit of God so that I do what I need to do and preach what I need to preach, what you need to hear. You realize when you're here this morning and listening to the preaching, and when you're here this morning and singing the song, do you realize your need to be filled with the Spirit of God? Because if you're not led by the Spirit, you're going to miss what it is He has for you. And if you go home and have nothing better to say than criticize the preacher for something I said amiss or for preaching too long, if that's the best you got out of the service, it's not my fault. It's your fault. Because you weren't filled with the Spirit of God. I've been in meetings where the preacher stammered and stuttered and struggled, preached things improperly, incorrectly, doctrinally. Yet it's my responsibility to hear what the Spirit has to say. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 65, I believe it, or 60, I'm getting the wrong chapter now, 55, that His word won't return to Him void. As long as the word is presented, you should get something out of it. If you're not getting something out of it, let me suggest the solution. Be filled with the Spirit of God. If you try to serve God, if you try to witness, you're seeing absolutely no results at all. You're trying to teach, and the kids in your class are just like this, saying, when is this ever going to get over? Let me suggest that perhaps you need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of God can minister to their hearts and work in their lives and change hearts and change lives. What I'm trying to say this morning is that you need, if you're saved this morning, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God every day for everything you face that day. You need His help. And if you're trying to do it in your own power, if you're trying to do it in your own strength, you will not enjoy the Christian walk or the success God has intended for you. If you're here this morning without Christ, the first thing you need to do is take Him as your Savior, throwing away trust in everything else, and coming to the cross and trusting what Jesus did for you. Then you have the possibility of being filled with the Spirit and seeing success in every area and seeing God's help in every area of your life. Father, we thank You for Your Word, such a simple truth and yet such a practical truth for our everyday life. But Father, so often neglected, probably more neglected than even that of prayer, is the request to be filled with the Spirit of God. Father, we know You don't do it automatically. You only do it in response to prayer. and asking. Father, may our hearts be challenged to seek this on a daily basis in our lives, that we might be a church family truly filled with the Spirit of God and enjoying your richest blessings in this world below. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.